Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Nun Tes, and we're holding the last line of Nun Ches Amud Beis. Now, Gemara is going to continue telling us, we started off yesterday about the Isser Oino'a, specifically, not Oino'as Mamoin, but Oino'as Dvorim. Oino'as Dvorim means Chas V'Sholem to go and abuse someone or cause them anguish and ill feelings by saying something, verbal abuse. So up to the last line of Nun Ches Amud Beis, Omer Rabbi Bechana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, top of Nun Tes Amud Aleph. Noyichol the Adam Shiyovei Al Safik Eishes Ish V'Al Yalben Pnei Chaveiroi B'Rabim. Chas V'Sholem, a person should prefer to go and live with a Safik Eishes Ish rather than being Malben Pnei Chaveiroi. Of course, don't take the Gemara literally that a person should go around and should be Chas V'Sholem Bo Al Safik Eishes Ish. All the Gemara means to say, in relative terms, that being malba b'nei chaver b'rabim, abusing someone, embarrassing somebody, shaming someone in public, is such a terrible, terrible thing that in a certain respect, it's even worse than living with a suffix eishes ish.
How does he say that? Eishes ish is eishes d'raisa.
No question.
Nisa.
Right.
But there's nothing in the Torah that says hamalba chaver b'rabim.
Exactly.
Oh, we're going to see, Mitch Hashem, Rabbi Cohen, we're going to see, surely.
I didn't do a laning, I'm just talking to you right now.
I know you didn't lane, we had another Balkari. But the Gemara says, Minolai, how do we know this? Rabbi Cohen says he doesn't remember any pasuk that says, Al talban p'nei chaver b'ram, so what's the raya? Midorish Rav, the Dorish Rav, and Magdach Siv. David HaMelech says, Bozok David HaMelech and Tillim, Uvetzali, Samchu v'nesafu, Koru v'loy domu. Parshat Pshat is Uvitzali means that he was Tzolea al Yerecho, as we find in the Chumash. Tzolea meaning that David HaMelech was limping along, and people were mocking and making fun. Oh, look, the Altiyid that he's going Nebuch Akenshin Ishgain, he's limping along. However, the Gawaiting Mara Dashins, it has nothing to do with limping, but rather Uvitzali is a very nice Lashon referring to a woman. Why is that a reference to a woman? Because it says in the beginning of Parshas Bereishis that Kodesh Baruch Hu created Chava v'even es Hatzela. And therefore, when it says Tali, it's referring to David HaMelech's wife. In particular, it's referring to Bathsheba. And we know Bathsheba was originally the wife of Uriah Hachiti. And we know that there was some controversy about David HaMelech marrying her, because what David HaMelech did was he sent Uriah Hachiti to the battlefront. Uriah Hachiti, as the custom was in those days, wrote out a conditional get. The conditional get was that if I, Chas V'Sholem, Uriah Hachiti, do not return from the battlefront, then what's going to happen is that my wife should automatically be divorced. Lima Freya, from the time that I gave the get. And therefore, as a result, when David HaMelech lived with her, it was already beheter, because her husband had already passed away retroactively, so that they had a get. Anyway, but people at that time, as well as people even today, go and denigrate the Zikaron of David HaMelech by being critical. So it says in the Pasuk of Vitali about my tzela, about the Masa that I married Bathsheba, some women esafu, people gather together and they mock me and they denigrate me. So to the point of Karuv Leidamu. Karuv Leidamu, like Yemar is going to explain in a moment. Had they went and cut into my flesh, Leidamu, they wouldn't see any blood run out because they were Malben Pnei Chaveret. Yemar yesterday explained Malben Pnei Chaveret means that the person comes in with a rosy complexion and he goes out totally pale white like a ghost. So David HaMelech is saying, somewhat poetically, that they are mocking and denigrating me to the extent that I'm so pale that there's no blood left in me, that if they would go and cut me into pieces, Cholila, they wouldn't find any blood. It's Om Dabla V'nei Kodesh Baruch Hu, Rabbi Yishleim, Golev Yidu L'Fadecha, Shem Hoyu Mekharim Sari. You know that if they would go and make incisions into my flesh, there would be no blood left, Nebuch, to go and pour out onto the ground. Even more than that, when they're being osek in the sugyos and in the mishnayos of the goyim v'aholis, they go and say to me, David, if someone lives with an eishes ish, what is the misa? And I respond to them, a person lives with an eishes ish, to the din of chenek. However, even though this is a terrible sin, but after he goes through the purgatory, after he goes through the Gehenna, he's purified and he still has a chelik olam haba. Someone who shames and humiliates somebody in public is so much worse, he doesn't even get a chelik olam haba. Now the question is, why does this story focus on b'shoasha oiskim v'negoyim v'holis? It's b'shoasha oiskim in any type of shir, talking about anything. So the Parshat Shal, like Toisus says, you look at the second Toisus from the top. Toisus is about three quarters down the Amud. Says Toisus, Koloima. Not only do they mock me when they are sitting around doing nothing, like people are sometimes would do when nothing's going on, so they start talking and Moishav Leitzim. They're in the middle of a difficult sugya, and you would think that they wouldn't want to go and distract their attention from that sugya. Vigam Ainin Yoram Leishasish. The Gom Vaholis has nothing to do with Inyan of Eishasish. However, when they see me coming by, then they automatically forget about the fact that they're learning the Kohen Baholis, and they immediately start chaffering with me, and they, hey, Dovidul, well, what's the story with an Eishes Ish? We're talking about the Kohen Baholis. Therefore, Dovid HaMelech is trying to dramatize the amount of humiliation that he was subjected to because of the Masa of Bashar. That's the Pasha Pshat. But the Marsha says, ah, beautiful Pshat. Marsha is yoked too. Not that this is not beautiful, but the Marsha adds that we know that Negatzeras comes for the sin of Lashon Hara and Moitzi Shemra, and the word Mitzoyra in fact itself, Sungna Mefarshim, Mitzoyra is Rosh HaTevis, or it's a mnemonic, Moitzi Ra, Mitzoyra, Moitzi Ra. And therefore, what David HaMelech is saying is, can you imagine, they're learning the punishment for saying bad things about other people, they're talking about Negoim, that is now the punishment for Moitzi Shemra and Lashon Hara, and guess what? They don't even learn the lessons that they are learning, because when I come by, they forget about the fact that you're punished with Negoim, and instead, they start mocking and humiliating me. I, it's in Negoim Baholis, my show doesn't nishkeferlich, because we find often throughout Chazal, when they bring Negoim, they bring Negoim Baholis together, because these are considered to be almost like a package deal, two of the most difficult Mishnayos in Shas, in Seder Taharis.
These are also, it also ties into the big last thing you said yesterday, that the three go down together, and the Olim are Habal Eishasish, Malabim, B'nei Chavir, B'rabim, but not the Shemra. So it ties in all three, basically. The story links all three together in one episode.
You're absolutely right, but I thought you were going to ask the Kasha. The Kasha is, the Gemara, as you pointed out, said three are Yordan, Be'en, and Oilim.
Right.
So who are the three? Mount Penicha Veiroi, Mechan Hashem, and Habo al Eishes Ish. And here, David HaMelech is saying is, someone who lives in Eishes Ish, he does have a Chevik Olam Habo. Mount Penicha Veiroi, Ein Lo Chevik, which seems to be at odds with yesterday, but of course it could be a Machloikis about the Inyan Habo al Eishes Ish.
Isn't there any halacha between
Melech?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, 100%.
So
that's even worse. I agree with you. So the more vital. Omar Marzucha Bartovia Omar Rav, the Amrila Omar of Khoda Barbizna Omar Bishim Hasid, the Amrila Omar Pyokhim Shim Shim Bay Khoi. No, you khoi the Omar Shiapal after the Kibisha Aish. Val Yal Venecha Beire Berabe Minoli, how do I know? Meet Tomar, very, very famous Gemara, that a person should rather go and Chas V'Sholem, go and allow that person to be go Nebuch L'misa, to be thrown into a furnace of fire, and rather than go and shame someone else, humiliate someone. But how do I know from Tama Dichtiv? He mutzeis Yisholcha Chabi Aleimar L'mi Asher Eil Aloy Anoichi Har. What is this all about? Everybody knows the famous story about Tamar. The Tamar was supposed to be set aside for Shelah Beni, for Shelah the son of Yehuda. However, Yehuda didn't want Tamar to go and marry Shelah. The reason is because Yehuda had two older sons, Er v'Oinan, and unfortunately they both died. And as a result, he was afraid that if Tamar was going to go and live with Shelah, he might also die. So therefore they didn't allow Tamar to go and become Nisyabim through Shelah. And Tamar was aware of this, and Tamar very much wanted to go and have Zerah from Yaakov Avinu. So what did she do? She made a shtickle, Yaakov Yehuda, and she made a shtickle subterfuge until, in fact, she lived with Yehuda, and then afterwards, subsequently, we find out that Tamar is pregnant, and they wanted to go and burn her at the stake for the fact that she was pregnant, even though she was a Yevamah of Shelah. Anyway, Tamar did not want to disclose that she was in fact pregnant through Yehuda. She could have, and she could have said, "Hey, Rabbi Yisai, you're trying to go and chas v'shalom kill me. You should be aware that this what happened." But rather, she said it in a very, very quiet manner, so nobody would realize. Like it says in the pasuk, the real pasuk says, "Hi mutzeis, the sholcha el chamia leimar." Hi mutzeis means she's being taken out from a lashon yitzia or hitzah. She's now being taken out chas v'shalom les reifa. The sholcha el chamia leimar, and therefore she goes and sends to her shver being Yehuda. The isha she'el eloi anoichi hara. The one that owns these objects, to him I became pregnant. But I mean, hakina, recognize these objects. Who do they belong to? And of course they belong to Yehuda. And Yehuda now said, Tzarkami many, and therefore freed her from Chas v'Shalom being killed. However, had Yehuda not confessed, and Yehuda not acknowledged what happened, then in fact Tamar would have been taken to her death. So we see from Tamar, that mutav loy li adam, noich loy li adam, shiapal atzma, the kibshon ha'esh, a person should be willing to chas v'shalom be killed and not shame someone else, but rather. Very, very dramatic story. And that's what we learn from Tamar. Right, this is what you want. Of chinna b'reid of iri, ma'itis of v'shein posik, v'leisaynu ishas amisoy. Now the word amisoy is a very unusual term. Usually the Torah would say, v'leisaynu ish es reyeyu, v'leisaynu ish es chaveiroi, v'leisaynu ish es achid. Was it the amisoi dashni mora am or im she'etcha b'toyra uve mitzvahs altanei? A person who is close to you in Torah mitzvahs, you don't go altanei, you don't go and shame him, don't humiliate him from loshin oinor. Now, what is the gemara dashing? The word amisoi means am she'etcha or im she'etcha, someone who is similar to you b'toyra mitzvahs. Meinach that legabi hilchos oinor dvarim, that you're not allowed to humiliate and shame somebody else. That's someone who is an erlechayid, someone who is together with you in Torah mitzvahs. What happens if you're talking about a Rosh Marusha? Rosh Marusha, there is no problem of Inos Dvarim. You're allowed to go and shame him so that hopefully he will do tshuva and not continue on his bad path of Averis. Amarab, lo'ilam ye odom zoi ba'inos ishtai, shibitoshin, namasa mitzuya, ba'inosa kreva. When it comes to Inos, you have to be particularly careful about chas v'shalom causing any anguish to your wife. And although the Gemara refers to the wife, however, the Mefarshim say the same thing applies generally to all women, because women are considered to be more emotional than men, and therefore, Mitoshim, Damasa, Mitsuya, since they cry more easily and more frequently than men, Inasa Kraiva, even a small little insult and humiliation, and they can go totally berserk and totally crazy. So therefore, be very particular and very, very careful about chas v'shalom not causing any anguish to your wife or to any woman at all. Amr Bluza, miyam shech nechor beis hamikdash, from the day of the Chor beis hamikdash, ninalu shari tefillah. Unfortunately, the shari tefillah have been sealed and closed upstairs in heaven. Shneimar, like it says in the pasuk, kam ki ezak v'ashaveya, even when I cry out and scream to the Rabbeinu Shlalom, saw some tefilasi, my tefillas are verstopped. As if the doorway is closed up permanently and doesn't allow the tefillahs to go and squeeze through. However, even though the shari tefillah were closed, however, the shari demois are still open. So way Rashi learns pshat, and Tosis learns the same thing. A person says to Hashem, Kodesh Baruch Hu, I am mevakish. I go and urge you and ask you, please listen to my tefillah, and listen to my screaming. Here I'm not no longer asking you because I have bitochen. I am confident. El demasi, when you see my tears, al techrash, you're not going to remain silent, but you're going to see the tears and you're going to respond to my bakasha. So therefore, the first part of the pasuk, the Shema, is a bakasha, Kodesh Baruch Hu, please listen. The El Dimasi El Techrash person is saying confidently to Hashem, but I know for sure that the Dima will not go unanswered. If you look at Rashi, Shema Tfilasi, Rashi is about a quarter from the top of the Amid. Look at Rashi, Shema Tfilasi, English Shanoisim Elashim Bakasha. Don't change the pshat and pasuk from the regular simple pshat that it's a bakasha. Shema Vakish Meisa Kodesh Baruch Hu, he's asking Hashem, Shema Tfilasi, listen, please, to my tefillah. Aval, the second part, al techrash, yesh l'shanoisi melosha bakasha. That already is not a bakasha, and he's saying, Hashem, listen, but rather, v'loimar, but rather, he is saying, b'zu ani bateach, and this I am confident, shein darik cholishtoik v'loy lahachrish. I know that if I cry, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you will not continue to be silent, but then you in fact will listen. So the Shema is more of, I ask you please, and the demos al techrash means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm confident that you will listen to my demos. The Yom Rab, kol ha'ilich batzas, ishtoy mifu b'yanim, whoever listens to the advice of his wife, without even questioning it, chas v'shalom conform to Ganim Shinem, like it says in the Pasuk, rak lehoye ka'achav. The Gemara leaves out the second part of the Pasuk. However, Rashi brings the second part, and those that have the Torah or Shalom, you'll see it's number 6. Rak lehoye ka'achav asher hismakir lasois hara b'eini Hashem. In which respect did Achav do bad in the eyes of Hashem? Asher hisata oisai izabel ishtoi. That his wife went and provoked him and incited him to do bad. And he listened to his wife. So we see that listening to a wife has bad results. However, don't be noivis, Rabbi Sai. Omelet apopoli abayva amri inchi, but there's a famous expression that people use. Itzcha, gutza, if your wife happens to be short, gochin, bow over, bend over, v'tilchishlo, and listen to what she has to say. In other words, that her advice is very much on point. So the previous Gemara says, don't listen to the advice of your wife. And here it's saying, you should listen to the advice. So make up your mind. Is it better? Is it not better?
Why don't you quote the Pasuk in the Torah? Hashem says, Ahlam kol asher t'nasoch shema b'kailo.
What about all those people that are not fortunate to have a wife by the name of Sarah? I know people that are called, their wives' name are Sprinza, Chana, Rivka, Laya, Miriam. And all he says, Avraham is Sarah.
Frank, it didn't say so long. I mean, have you listened to your wife? Period.
I was just at a Sheva Brochus where the caller's name, in fact, was Sarah. So the person that got up and spoke at the Sheva Brochus said, you, Chusin, you have a chiv d'araisa to go and listen to your wife. My wife's name is Miriam. I only have a chiv d'rabon. But you have a chiv d'araisa. You got to listen to her. Okay, anyway, but bottom line is getting back to our Gemara. In many places it said, listen to the advice of your wife. In other places it said, you shouldn't. So make up your mind. If you're talking about general matters in the world, then you don't have to listen to your wife. Things that have to negate to the household. Since she's the Akeres Abayis, she's the one that establishes, and she's the one in control, and she's the one that makes sure that the household survives and moves and flourishes and thrives, etc. Then you have to go and ask her opinion, whatever is good for the household. Lishnachrina. Milidishmai means having to do with Rachnias. Rachnias, you don't have to listen to your wife. You have to continue the Rachnias that you learned from your Rebbes and from your Rosh Hashivas and your Rabbonim and your Mishpacha. That you don't have to listen. Milidalma, things which have to are Negev to Gashmias, then you should listen to your wife has to say.
Is it Rachnias or Ruchnias?
Ruchnias, Ruchnias, either one. Amr of Chisim. Kala Sha'orim nin Olim Chutz Misharia no. All of the Sha'orim are closed except for Sharia Na, meaning that Chas V'Shalom HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to go and punish based on the Sharia Na. So what does he mean, Kol Sha'orim Ninalu? So if you look at the Rashi in the middle of the Amid, Kol Sha'orim Shel Tfila Ninalu, when you go and pray to Hashem and ask Hashem for a Bakasha, as the Gemara said before, the Shari Tfila are closed. I'm sure many of you saw years ago there was a famous picture in the papers that there was an old shul in the Bronx, which was called the Shari Tefillah congregation. So it said in the during the summer months, everybody went to the Catskills. So there was a famous picture caption showing that Shari Tefillah is closed for the summer. The Shari Tefillah are closed. Our Gemara is telling us the Shari Tefillah are closed the whole year. That Shari Tefillah Nebuch are ninalu. Chutz mishari ayno. If Chas V'Shalom a person is crying out to Hashem that someone caused him insult and humiliation and injury and anguish, Kodesh Baruch Hu listens very carefully to those tefillahs. And therefore, one should be very careful about humiliating and shaming someone else. Shem like it says in the Pasuk, Hinei Hashem nitzav al choymas anoch uveyodoy anoch. The pasuk chat in this pasuk, the word anoch means a plumb line. Plumb line is a particular type of rope which is used by builders and contractors when they're contracting, when they're constructing a wall, to make sure that the wall doesn't collapse or doesn't swerve to one side or to the other side. It should be totally straight. So therefore they have a plumb line which they throw down from the top of the wall to see that it goes exactly parallel with the wall, etc. When you're in that business, you'll have a better feel for it. However, our Gemara doesn't dash in the word anoch from the word plumb line, but the word anoch from the lashon of einoch. And therefore, saying a Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he is on top of the wall and hears about Chas V'Shalom, no, uviyodei anoch, he takes matters into his hands, and he's willing to go and he's ready to go and Chas V'Shalom punish someone for the problem of or for the iser of einoch. Of a bluzer, hakol nifra b'vdei shliach chutz meinoch. A Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he punishes people, he goes and punishes them through a shliach. However, when it comes to einoch, Kodesh Baruch Hu does it himself. Shenema uviyodei anoch, he himself is the one that punishes because of einoch. Three aveirois. The pargoid is a mechitza up in Shemayim, is not closed in front of these three aveirois. In other words, in front of other aveirois, the Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't necessarily see it directly. He allows there to be a certain degree of, if you will, of a cloud and mystery. But these three, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his eyes are focusing on, like, Eini Hashem Lekecha Bo, Mereishis Hashanah Barach Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always focusing on these three Averis. There is no Mechita that's Nino Bechneim. What are these three? Oino, that we're talking about. V'Gezel, Hashem, theft. V'Avodah Zarah. Now, how do we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly looking and seeing these three Averis? Oino, Dechsev, V'Yodeh Anach. Kodesh Baruch has it in his hands. He never lets go of the Isser of Einoah. He's constantly focused on this Isser. Gezel dechsev, chomos v'shoit, hishom abo, al ponay tamid. Ponay tamid means in front of my face. I'm always looking at it. I see this Isser of Gezel. Avodah Zarah dechsev, o'om ha-machisim oisi, al ponay tamid. Again, the same lush, al ponay tamid. Kodesh Baruch is constantly focused on these three, always focusing attention, never gets distracted, so to speak, from these three Averis. Gemara seems to go off a little bit on a tangent and is telling us about other things that can cause distress at home. We already had the oinos ishtoi can cause a lot of distress. Oinosa kroiva de masa metsuya. Here we're talking about other possible problems of marital discord. The oilam ye odam zor betfuah p'tech beis. A person should always make sure that there's food at home. Shem mariv matziah p'tech beis. One of the major reasons for chas v'shalom separation and divorce is because there isn't enough money to go around. There's not enough food. A mariva matziah p'tech beis shel odam. Mariva from lashon of machloikis, fighting and quarreling. You don't have fighting and quarreling. El al iske tfuah. But because of the fact that there is not enough money to pay for food, shnamar asam gvulech shalom chaylev chitim yasbiach. You want it to be shalom in your gvul, within your borders, within the borders of your home. Then make sure chaylev chitim yasbiach that there's enough chitim on the table to go and serve cereal and bread and cake for the mishpach. Amr Papa, Sir Papa said, "Hein damer inchi." We have a famous expression that people use: kemishlam sari mikado. Nakish v'osi tigra bebeisa. The word sari means sa'oidim, which means barley. Kemishlam means when it's finished. Mikada from a barrel. So people used to go and have barrels or containers full of sa'oidim. When that barrel is finished, the nakish v'osi then unfortunately starts banging tigra machloikis bebeisa in the home. In other words, until that point when there was enough food, everybody was happy. Now there's a shortage of food, unfortunately. Tigra, machloikis, nebuch nebuch will now burst out in the house. The word nakish means from knocking. It comes knocking at the door. Make sure that you have food. The reason why Klal Yisrael is referred to in the Pasuk as being poor is because they didn't have food. It's not clear from these psukim that the Gemara brings on the surface what's the relationship to food. However, in the pasuk of Vayachnu Aleim, if you look on the side in number 12, and Rashi brings part of the pasuk, Vayachnu Aleim Vayashchisu es Yevul Ha'aretz. They destroyed Yevul. That means the Tvua, the growth of the land. Arboyach Ha'aza until you came to Aza. V'yashiru Michyo v'Yisrael. As a result of the Muhammad that they were holding, the first pasuk Vayim Zeri Yisrael, which we skipped over quickly, was spoken to Vayim Zeri Yisrael. These three psukim come fairly close together. One is in Shoftim Vav Gimel, Shoftim Vav Dalet, and then you skip Shoftim Vav. Therefore, these psukim are talking about when Klal Yisrael, unfortunately, was under siege by Midian. What happened? Vayachnu aleim, they went and made a whole machna, a siege against Klal Yisrael. Vayashchisi yivol ha'aretz, and Midian destroyed the entire produce of the land, and there was nothing left. Vayashiru mechem Yisrael, there was no food left, and no seh sharachamah. In other words, they devastated and destroyed everything. The next pasuk says, "Vayidal Yisrael mi'oid mipnei Midian," and now Klal Yisrael became impoverished because of Midian. So we see that poverty is defined as lack of food. The worst part of a person has, if he doesn't have food, Chas Shalom, he's called a dal, he's called poor. Amr b'chalba, le'olim ye'odem zor b'kvayt ishtay. A person should be very careful about honoring his wife and showing her a certain amount of dignity and covet. She'im brach b'tziv tek b'eshtay shal adam v'shal ishtay. What's the reason why a person has a brach in his home? It's because of his wife, Shenemar. Avram heitev ba'avura. Avram Avinu was zeicha to have plentiful because of Sarah Imen. The Parshat Pshat, the Pasuk is talking about that Parai was made to Bavura. However, the way the Gemara is darshaning is, well, Avram Heitav HaKadosh Baruch Hu was made to Avram Avinu. You know why? Bavura, because he had the Tzedekah Sarah in his home. It shows you, you have to be careful about your covered Ishtar, because she's the one that brings the Brach into the home. And that's why Rabbah said to him, Aikiru l'neshaychu. Aikiru l'neshaychu means give cover, give honor, respect, dignity to your wives. So that you should all become rich. How are you going to become rich? By giving cover to your wives. Because ain brach matzuya. Excuse me. Ella bishvil ishtay. Okay. From here to Nan Hossam, till almost the end of the entire Amud Beis, we have the famous story of the Tanur Shel Achnoi. We'll explain what that means in a moment. And the reason why brings more of this Tanur Shel Achnoi is because we'll see that Rebbe Lezer, unfortunately, was terribly personally offended, and that unfortunately caused a lot of problems. And that's therefore related to the Oinoas Devarim that we were talking about. Be careful not causing any humiliation or any anguish to anyone. Sorry?
Offended by
him. We'll see. We'll see. A langi gemara.
So now the gemara. About the prayers of you?
Yes, what's your question?
So what's the chiluk? What's the situation where you don't, where you shouldn't listen to your wife?
Do I turn off the recorder here for a minute?
The gemara said two pshatim. Pshat number one is the difference between mili de alma and mili de besa. And the other one was mili de shmaya and mili de alma. According to the first pshat, mili de alma, mili de besa, in general matters, you didn't. Now, when it says don't follow your advice, the advice of your wife, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't follow her advice. It means you shouldn't follow it blindly. You should take what your wife says and put it into your computer mind together with everything else that you've learned and you've heard and you've seen over the years and combine all of that and then come up with a decision. The problem with Achav was that Achav listened to Izebel blindly. Izebel was a very, very evil woman, as we know from Tanakh. And Achav said, yes, dear, whatever you say is perfect. Whatever you say is right. Gesundheit. So if a person has a wife like that, that has evil plots, and we're not talking about household matters, we're talking about matters generally in the world, then don't listen blindly to what she has to say. That's really the base. If she's talking about, well, I think we should move the couch over here, and we should put the kitchen over there, and we should have a second refrigerator and a different freezer, and blah, blah, blah. Anything else, Millie DeBesa, you can rely on her. She knows what she needs to run the household.
It sounds like Trump.
Okay. That's one pshat. Another pshat is... okay. Anyway, the second pshat is Mili Deshmai, anything having to do with Ruchnius, or Rabbi Cohen prefers to say Ruchnius, spiritual matters. Listen to what she has to say, but don't necessarily follow her advice, because you may have heard from your father, your Rav, your Rosh Hashiva, etc., the way to do it. So don't necessarily listen to your wife when she wants to go and change the minhagim and do things like that. But Mil de Alma, if we're talking about Masav Gashmias, yeah, you can listen to her. She can be very, very smart, and she can guide you in a very good manner. Good? Fine.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Since we spoke about listening to a person's Masayra that he had, listen to his father, listen to a Rosh Hashiva, listen to his Rebbe, it reminds me of a story that about 30 years ago, my wife and I were in Russia, and we went to Russia at that time. Now we're allowed to go and publicize, but at that time it had to remain undercover, because at that time it was very dangerous to go to Russia to go and teach religion. That was before Glasnost, that was before Gorbachev. At that time, Yuri Andropov and in Russia they would add the word Yimach Shemoy, was in charge of Russia, and he was a terrible Russia like all the other Russian leaders who were Rishoim. Anyway, to cut a long story short, my wife and I gave Shiurim over there in a very secretive way, and it's a long, long story. But every month, Shluchim were sent by the Agudas Yisrael, specifically by the Vad Latzolas Nidche Yisrael, to go and teach and learn with the Yidin in Russia. So every few months, the Shluchim would get together and talk about stories that happened to them when they were there. So I remember Rav Heinemann Zolzangizund, Rav in a famous Rav in Baltimore. Rabbi Cohen, I'm sure, knows him very well from the Hashkacha industry. Anyway, so Rav Heinemann at that time came, also went with his wife or somebody else for Shlichus, and he came back and he told the following interesting story. He said that they were walking down the street, and it was 10th of the month, 12th of the month, whatever it was, and they saw a beautiful Levana. So Rabbi Heinemann asked a group of Yidin that were with him, were you Mekadosh Levana yet this Chodesh? And they said no. So he said, well, let's go be Mekadosh Levana. So they all had Sidurim, whatever, and they started Mekadosh Levana. And then when it came to the Pasuk, Kishem Sheni, Roik Kenegdech, Ben Yochel and Goyabach, he said that one of the Bali Tshuva among these Russian Jews that were with him went and jumped up, Yechvais, like 5 feet in the air. 5 feet is a bit of a guzma, but he jumped up as much as possible. And he did that, of course, 3 times. Kishem Sheni, Roik Kenegdech, Ben Yochel and Goyabach, jumped, etc. So it was, Rabbi Heinemann saw this, it was kind of startling. So after the Kiddush Levana was over, he asked him, tell me, by uns in America, where we come from, you know, all you do is you just pick up the back of your feet, in a symbolic manner. You don't really start jumping and dancing. You just, So this Yid said to Rabbi Heinemann, he said, Rav, I see you still don't understand what it means to be a Baal Tshuva in Russia. How do you, Rabbi Heinemann, know how much you're supposed to pick up the back of your feet when you do Kiddush Levana? It's because you saw your father do Kiddush Levana. Or because you saw your Rav do Kiddush Levana. You saw your Rebbe do Kiddush Levana. You saw other Yidin do Kiddush Levana. So that's how you know. He said, Rabbi Heinemann, my father never did Kiddush Levana. I never had a Rav to go and do Kiddush Levana. I didn't have a Rebbe to do Kiddush Levana. I don't even know what Kiddush Levana is all about. I just know it says in the small Oysius in the Siddur that when it comes to these words, you're supposed to pick your feet up. So I say, Rabbeinu Shlomo, it doesn't say what the shear is, whether you're supposed to go and pick your feet up 1 inch or 10 feet. So I say, Rabbeinu Shlomo, I do the maximum possible that I can possibly jump up. If I was yoitze the shear, the chazoin this year, that was yoitze. And if I wasn't yoitze, I'm sorry, Kodesh Baruch, I just can't do it anymore. So I just try the best I can to go and jump up as much as possible. Mamish Erlachkeit from Baal Tshuva. Afterwards, I repeated this story in America to another group of Baal Tshuva, and someone said to me, Rabbi Redder, and you don't understand what it means to be a Baal Tshuva in America, because I also didn't have a father or a Rebbe or Rosh Hashiva that told me anything about Kiddush Levana. I also don't know that you're supposed to jump up and how much you're supposed to jump up, etc. Anyway, shows Yidin, Erlach Yidin, that they wanted to do Mitzvah Singer Sefesh to go and do a Mitzvah Bunch. Reb Simcha now wants to, of course, add something. Please share with us some other insights. I'm sorry? Also 3, 4, 5 feet, yeah? As much as he can. Ah, just like that. That's beautiful, Simcha. Shkoyach for sharing that with us. Now we have the famous story of the Tanur Shel Achnoi. What's the story of the Tanur Shel Achnoi? The Tanurim, explains Rashi, a Tanur means an oven. An oven, in the good old days, explains Rashi, were made like very, very large pots. Large pot that you use to go and cook your rice soup, chicken soup for a cup of Shabbos, or you go and put in, make your fish, or whatever you want and put in your pot. Very, very large pot was used as an oven. How would they use it as an oven? Part of the large pot they would put in the corner, they would put some of the heating materials, like coals, and then the rest of the pot they would go and use, it wasn't a pot, they used it as an oven, they would use, for instance, for baking bread, and they would go and attach the bread to the other side of the oven, so it shouldn't touch the coals, and that it should be well-baked. When they wanted to use it as a stove, they had to have a grate or grill on top of the oven, and they would put the pots, and therefore they would have the heat from down below, right, inside the oven rising up, and that's how they would go and cook things on top. But in the oven, in terms of using as an oven, they would go and have a large pot, and then they would have some fuel on the bottom, on the right-hand side, left-hand side, and then they would bake or cook in the rest of this oven. Now, most of their ovens in the good old days were made out of kli cheres, made out of earthenware. Kli cheres, as we know, on the kabel tuma. They are different than all other kelim in the sense that all other kelim are metame on the kabel tuma migabai, meaning from the outside. Kli cheres is only metame from the inside. Inside means that if you have an avela or a sheretz or another tuma that goes inside the kli, then the whole kli cheres becomes tame. Good. Now, what happens to this particular tana? This particular tana was made out of not one section, but out of multiple sections. Almost like if the children that play Lego, they go and put the pieces together and they make out of it one large castle or a house or whatever. So this tana was also manufactured by putting sections together. Now, typically, when you would go and add these sections together, you would put some mortar and cement in between, and then to go and solidify, you put the whole thing into the furnace afterwards and make it into a finished kli, and everything would be wonderful. And then it would be a proper, normal kli cheres that everybody agrees would be mekabel tuma. In this instance, however, what they did was they attached the different pieces together by using choil. Choil means they're using earth. Earth was like a form of clay or mud, which had an adhesive part of it, or quality to shkoyach, an adhesive quality to it, and this would keep the pieces together through the choil, through that earth, through the mud, the clay, that was uniting it together. Now, there isn't much of a difference between a kli adama and a kli cheres. Kli cheres, earthenware, is also made out of earth. That's why it's called earthenware. The difference is that when you're dealing with kli adama, you finish the kli by allowing it to bake in the hot sun. Now it's dried out. Now you use it as a kli. If you want it to become a kli cheres, you put it into a furnace, and you put the furnace up to 500 degrees. You leave it there for whatever short period of time until it becomes beautifully solidified and concretized. And up, you take it out. Now it becomes a kli cheres. So now this tanner was made out of multiple sections of kli cheres, and the adhesive that was connecting it together was made out of adama. A kli adama is not mekabel tuma. A kli cheres is mekabel tuma. So the question is, this is a bit of a hybrid, where 90% of the kli is made out of kli cheres, but the adhesive, the mamid, if you will, that keeps it together is one, is made out of adama. Is it mekabel tuma? Is it not mekabel tuma? A big controversy. Zokti Mora, Tanan Hos.
So one was portable, one could be removed. I mean, the kli adama, you could take apart and reassemble it.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't talk about what you could do subsequently. It just talks about, that's how they manufactured it initially. Just to go and see the Rashi, you shouldn't think I'm making all of this up. Rashi's Chotchu Chulyois, it's parallel to Rabbeinu Chananel, about 12 lines from the bottom. Chotchu Chulyois. Taner ha'osui Chulyois, Chulyois means in pieces. Metarfe b'kivshon. Normally, you would go and put it together in the kivshon inside a furnace. Kiderach licharis, v'achkach tziref achulius, v'nosen choil bein chulia lechulia. In our case, what did this person do? He put the chulias together. Instead of putting into a kivshon, he put choil. He put earth, clay, in between one piece and the other. Reb Lezer v'tayr she'ein zek licharis el abinyan ki'en kli glolam kli adama she'ein mekablam tuma. It has the status of a kli adama and not a kli cheres.
Why don't we talk about how much material piece should be made in Shailen Bichl? If you talk about Adoma, you talk about Cheres. So, I mean, isn't the size, you know, the Rabbi, amount of, you know, the
proportion,
the ingredient that you're making the clay should have.
Rabbi Cohen, you're raising a very, very important issue. Notice that this is a Mishnah Maseches Kelim. Kelim goes on, I think, for 23 Prokim with numerous 30 Prokim.
Oh. Just like our Nizikin.
Beautiful. So it's 30 Prokim altogether. And as a result, there's quite a bit of discussion about anything related to Kelim. Mi'at Hashem, we have an opportunity, we'll go through it in great depth and in great length. But for our purposes, what we have to know is a very limited machloikis about this.
You learned it already, Kelim.
You have to have grace of Kelim to understand Maseches Kelim.
You mentioned that a kucharis, its utility is its interior.
That's right.
Interior, so it's not a question of how much volume, it's a question of the shape.
And therefore?
In Cheres, so Rabbi Tedra, Rabbi Cohn's question, yes. Cheres is it's a kli, it's not dependent on the material as much as been on the shape, because you said the whole value of it, you quoted someone who said that the whole reason it's metami.
You're not referring to today, you mean on a previous occasion.
Right, right.
Previous occasion, I think it's Chedisha Rim that says that the reason why a kli Cheres is metami me. Avirai and not migabai. Why is it different than all other manishtana from all other kelim? Because all other kelim have an inherent intrinsic value. even if you have a metal kli that becomes broken, gets a hole, you can no longer use it as a kli, but you could sell it as scrap metal. It has an intrinsic value because of the value of the metal. However, kli cheres has no value whatsoever. If it breaks, and you just have to throw it out. You cannot reshape it into a new kli, and it has no scrap value. The only value that it has is that it can go and hold within it any type of food, liquid, objects, whatever. So therefore, that's the reason why it's metameh me'aviroi, because that's the shavius, that's the chashivas of this kli, as opposed to any other kli, which has a chashivas even from the outside, even before you utilize the inside. However, that doesn't really address Rabbi Cohen's question, because you could have a kli cheres which happens to be as big as Yankee Stadium, and you could have a kli cheres which is a small little nothing that you can only put toothpicks inside. So the fact that you have a larger piece or a smaller piece would seem to be irrelevant. The only question over here is that since all the pieces are held together by choyl, which is considered to be like a kli adama, does it get the status of a kli adama, or does it retain the status of a kli cheres because most of it is made out of cheres? But just finishing off the Rashi, they don't look at the adhesive that keeps us all together. They look at the individual sections which are made out of kli cheres. Says Rashi, Shara tanurim shalhem, the rest of the tanurim which were made in the good old days, hayasum ki en kederis kedos, were made like large pots. Opiv lamal, and of course like a pot, it's open from the top. Vitzayif the kivshon kishar kederis, and they would go and burn it and finish it by putting into a kivshon, into a furnace. Umetalklin, and these theoretically could be moved from place to place. They are mobile because they're like large pots. Elo, typically what would people do? Shohim Mashiva al Oritz, they would put it in a particular corner of the room and leave it there. Or Yaladaf, they would put it on a shelf. Umadbik estvelisatit soviv al kuloi, lasoise av, to go and strengthen and insulate this particular pot which they have now converted into an oven. What they would do is they would go and put cement or pitch or tar around the whole thing. Let's say they have to make it even thicker. Sheik like the yastik is choymai, so that the heat within it would remain within it and wouldn't dissipate quickly. So therefore they thickened it by putting a layer from the outside. Anyway, getting back to Agamar Tanan, Hasam, final line of the Omud, Chotchul Chulias. They have a whole bunch of pieces and portions and sections, and they are connecting them by putting in the clay in between to keep them together as an adhesive. Reb Lezer Metayer, because he says this has the status of a clay adama, it's not mekabel tuma. The Chometam and the Chometam say it's tame, it is mekabel tuma. V'zehu taner shel achnoi, and this is the taner of achnoi. One means of achnoi, my achnoi, omer v'yudah m'shmul, shekifoi dvorim ki achnezu, v'timu. The word achna means a snake. And explains Rashi, if you've ever seen snakes, try to stay away from them. But if you see them, let's say in a zoo or in a cage or whatever, you'll see that they tend to go and develop their own circle where they you have a very, very lengthy snake, and it, nevertheless it can be almost like a rope that it ties itself, or not ties, but it circles itself up and down. Look at the top Rashi. Achnoi nochosh darke lasis ba'agula, makes itself into a circle. L'hachnes znove eitzel pit, so that its tail is close to its mouth. In other words, like a circle. It wraps around. Oh, so therefore, what's the reason why this tanner is called the tanner shel achnoi? Explains the Gemara. Sheikifu dvarm ke'achna, that they went around and around in circles, if you will, going back and forth, bring rayas, hin and tzrik, to go and show that Reb Lezer is wrong. And the Chomorite, the Timu. So they all brought rayas from the Rambam and from the Chubas from Kivagan, Chubas Chom Sofer, and Chubas Igros Moshe. They brought rayas from all over and circled and encircled Reb Lezer to show that he's wrong. Anyway, Reb Lezer was, as the Gemara will call him later on, Reb Lezer HaGodol. Reb Lezer was considered to be the Poisek Hador, and he was very, very upset, and he wanted to go and show that he is right. He brought all the chivas for him. He brought all the some places from Kivegas and all the chivas from all the generations. But like Kibloim, and however, they were not makabel the answer. Of course, I don't mean that literally. Chivas Oyim means that he came up with every response and every answer possible to all of their kashas and all of their ayahs to show that he's right. However, they did not listen. Omlem! So now he wants to go and prove his point. And he says, a malacha kemoisi, if the malacha is like me, choruv ze yechiach. This carob tree, a boxer tree, should go and show that I am right. Now, how did the boxer tree show that Reb Lezer is right? As soon as Reb Lezer said that, nekar chorum emkoymai, the boxer tree jumped out of its place, and it became uprooted, meya amma, and jumped 100 amas further away, even more than that fellow by the Kiddush Levon. The Amr the Arba Meis Amma, or 400 Amas away, that's how the Chorev showed that Reb Lezer is right. Amr the Chachom were not convinced, and they said, Ein Mevi'in Raya Men Chorev, you can't bring a Raya from a boxer tree. Chos V'yomalem, in Malacha Kemoisi, the Lachas like me, Amas Amayim Yechichu, the Amas Amayim, this brook of water, this stream of water, should show that I am right. Chos V'Amas Amayim La'achireim. As a result of what Reb Lezer said, the Amas Amayim changed course. Instead of going from up to down, it went from down to up, it went in reverse. The walls of this Bismedish should show that I'm right. The walls of the Bismedish started going towards one another, as if Chas V'Shalom, the whole Bismedish was going to collapse on all of the Talmidim Chas V'Shalom in the Bismedish. Rabbi Shua, as we know, was a colleague, a peer of Rabbi Lezer. That's why you find Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shua frequently together in Mishnayos. Rabbi Shua started screaming at the walls, if there happens to be a fight here balach between Talmid Chacham, why are you getting involved, you walls? You have nothing to do with this. Stay out of this. Says the Gemara, they did not continue to fall in. Because Rabbi Shua screamed at them and said, stop. However, they didn't go and stand erect. If you come today, says Chazal, in other words, in times of the Gemara, you'll see that today, the Bismedish of Rabbi Shua, the walls are still inverted as if they were going to collapse because of that story. If the halach is like me, Minashemayim, the Rabbi Yisrael himself should go and say, I'm right. Yotze Baskol V'yomra, Baskol came out and said, Malachem Eitzer, Reb Lezer, Shalach, Kamoisi V'chol Mokan. Why are you chepping with Reb Lezer? Reb Lezer is always right. He's the Poisek Gador. Listen to Reb Lezer. Now you would think that this would be a convincing riot. Amr Reb Yisrael Ragel V'yomra, Loi Bashemayim, the Torah is not up in the heavens. The Torah was given to Klal Yisrael HaSinai. Since the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us the Chachmei Yisrael the right to decide all halachic decisions, Kodesh Baruch Hu, in a sense, has washed his hands and said, I now go and confer all jurisdiction on the Bez and Shalmata. You guys down below have to decide what halach is. And therefore, Rabbi Yisroel, with the greatest respect and the greatest reverence, Kodesh Baruch Hu, this is between us, Chachmei Yisroel. We have the right to go and judge based on Acharav Mahatois, and Reb Lezer is wrong, and we are right. Now, you would think that Kodesh Baruch Hu would be somewhat offended by all of this. Ashkei Reb Nosson Elio, Reb Nosson sound at that time met Elio Navi, Amalei, my other Kodesh Baruch Hu, by Shata, Elio Navi, maybe you could tell us what's going on up there in the heavens. Amalei says, Kodesh Baruch Hu is kochayich, Kodesh Baruch Hu is smiling. The Amar Nitzchuni Banai, Nitzchuni Banai, he's saying, my children have conquered me. In other words, they have been victorious, because they're absolutely right. Once I handed to them the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, and said, you guys have to decide what Allah is, therefore they have the right to go and paskin, even if I, Kaviyachal, feel differently about this.
How could they say Hashem is smiling? This Rambam says, I think, the more you say Hashem is not this, Hashem is not this, the closer you get to Him.
So we could understand it. So we could understand it.
Anthropomorphism.
What about all the times that Kodesh Baruch has Yad HaChazaka is right in the Tuya? Kodesh Baruch doesn't have any physical form.
Tyson's dressed as
this. No, where is Tyson? Yeah, was with Tyson's. Reisha of Zorazom, Yimchor, Bezminish, Ein Schoik, Vnei Kodesh Baruch, Lahaina Kavua. So Tosis is paraphrasing Rabbi Cohen. Rabbi Cohen is asking, Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't smile ever since the Chum Beis Midrash, and I haven't seen Rabbi Cohen smile in a long time either. Baruch Hashem today is smiling. So what the Gemara means is, Kodesh Baruch Hu on a regular basis doesn't smile. Though once in a while he smiles. And this was, here he was smiling in this particular case. Alright, anyway, I see everybody's Baruch Hashem smiling, so this is a Givaldik. So we have to give thanksgiving that Baruch Hashem everybody's Besimcha. But our Gemara is telling us is that Rabbi Lezer tried to show from various rayas, from Chorev, from Amas Amayim, from the Kodesh B'Semedesh, from the Baskol, and the Chachmei Yisrael were not willing to listen, because Acher Rabban Hathis. Why Dafka these four, the Chorev and the Amas Amayim, etc.? You have multiple Pshatim, you have the Maral, you have the Marsha, you have Maram Shiv, you have the Teres Chaim, and others that try to find some symbolic meaning in Dafka these particular four. For instance, Madame Schiff wants to say that Reb Lezer, when he said that Chorav Yichiach, he wasn't referring actually to the box of tree himself, he was really referring to Reb Chanina ben Doisa. Vosebs Reb Chanina ben Doisa, because Gemara says Mesechus Tanis, a very famous Gemara. Kol Oilam Kuloi Nizim Mishvel Chanina Beni, V'Chanina Beni, Dai Loi V'Kav Charuv V'Me'erim Shabbos V'Erim Shabbos, Shkoyach. Reb Chanina ben Doisa was the Tzadik Ador, and the whole world merited to have food in the schus of Reb Chanina ben Doisa, and Reb Chanina ben Doisa himself had the meager food allocation of a kav charuvin, of a kav of these boxer, me'erev Shabbos, erev Shabbos, from week to week. So his wife was a baki in all types of charuvian recipes. Sometimes she gave baked charuvin, sometimes boiled charuvin, sometimes fried charuvin. That's all he had, Nebuch, as his food throughout the year. And therefore, what the Maharam Shif is suggesting, it seems, that Reb Lezer was saying, call him Reb Chanina ben Doisa, the Tzadik Ador, and he'll tell you that I am right. You don't want to listen to Reb Chanina ben Doisa, then listen to Amas Amayim. Who's the Amas Amayim? Amas Amayim says, again, Maharam Shif, this is referring to Reb Lezer ben Aroch, because it says in the Mishnah, Mesechtos Ovois, that the Reb Lezer ben Aroch was so great, he was Kimayon HaMeskaber. So if the Amas Amayim is referring to Reb Lezer ben Aroch, he'll come and he'll tell you that I'm right. You don't want to listen to him? Listen to all the Talmid Chacham, Koysel B'Samedish. Ask all of the Talmid Chacham, they'll tell you that I'm right. You don't believe anybody here on earth? Ask a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Anyway, many different pshatim, why you have these different metaphors and these different symbols. But bottom line is, they did not listen to him. Says the Gemara Vayta. By the way, the last case was, we don't listen, Einonu Mashgichim Abaskal. This in itself is a bit of a difficult Gemara, because the Gemara says elsewhere that we have a machloikis between Beshamai and Beis Hillel, until Yotze Baskol, that we always paskin like Beis Hillel. How can you listen to that Baskol? We just said now Terlav Beshamayim, you can't listen to a Baskol. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the second Tosef from the top, V'odim aperikam the Yevomis, Da'aloch ki Beis Hillel, Mishim the Yotze Baskol, Shani Hocha, Shibolach like Aldivri Toira, Tichsiv Achram Lahatis. Avul Hosam Adraba Beisil Ruba Ilab Dav Mesapkelon Yes Linabas Ruba Mishad Veishamai Have Charif Eituva. What Tosis is saying is that back in Maseches Yevamos, the reason why the Gemara says we always paskel like Beisil over Beishamai because of a baskol. You now let us into a baskol, or you can't follow the baskol. The answer is that Beisil in fact was the roiv. So they were Makayim, the Achri Rabim Lahatois. What was the reason to go after Beis Shammai? Because although Beis Shammai were the minority, but they were very, very sharp. They were considered to be very, very smart, great intellect, very witty, great wisdom. And so therefore, perhaps that would outweigh the quality of Beis Shammai's brains and intellect, perhaps would outweigh the volume and the quantity of all of the Talmidei Beis Hillel. That's why the Baskel had to come out and say, no, Acharam Lahatos, we follow Beis Hillel, notwithstanding the sharpness of Beis Shammai. But in fact it says, L'Asa Lovay, we're going to follow Beis Shammai and not Beis Hillel. That's L'Asa Lovay, Mitchum. L'Asa Lovay might be this afternoon. But until that happens, Mitchum, we still go with Beis Hillel.
It seems a little inconsistent, because before when we said, no, the Torah was given to us and we make the decisions, so then we should remain consistent and not look for
a Baskel at all. That's why it's casual. We should never listen to a Baskel. Says Yimor, the reason why we don't follow a Baskel is because the Pasuk says, Acharam Lahatos. Says Toysis, and Yevamos also was Acharam Lahatos. Beis Hillel, in fact, was the majority. So we weren't going against what it says in the Torah, Acharam Lahatos. Why do we need the Baskel? Because of the Charifim versus the Quatri. Anyway, continuing the divide. Zokti Mara Kol Taharis Shetir Reb Lezer Oisayoyim Amru Oisayoyim Hediu Kol Taharis Shetir Reb Lezer V'sarf. So it was told that all of the Taharis that Reb Lezer was Matar. Remember that this was Itana Shalachnoi, and apparently the Tana Shalachnoi became Tomei. Reb Lezer says, no, it's not Tomei because it's a Kli Adoma, it's not a Kli Cheres. So there were many things that were baked and cooked and fried or whatever in this tanur, and they all became, according to us, the Chacham, they became Tomei. According to Reb Lezer, they remained Tahar. What did the Chacham do? To demonstrate how wrong Reb Lezer was, they collected together all the Taharis Shetir Reb Lezer based on this psak, the Sarvim Ba'esh, and they made it as a public bonfire, the Nimnu Olav, and all the Chacham got together, Ubarchu, and they gave him a bracha. The word bracha over here is Beloshin Saginar. What it means is that they put him, Nebuch, into Chayrim. The Amru, and the Chum said at that time, Mi Yelech V'Yodiyah, who's going to go and tell them that he is in Chayrim? Because a person who is Menuda has many different halachas, like we learned in Masechtas Moed Katan. Some of those halachas are reminiscent of Chas Shalom, someone sitting in Kriya, sitting in Shiva. He has to tear his garment, and a person who's menuda means that he's excommunicated from the community, from the kol. He's not allowed to even get within Dalet Amis of anybody else, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly.
Why would they disagree with the Cherub? So they had disagreement in Halacha.
Yeah.
Every time someone disagrees with in Halacha, you throw him into Cherub. If he continues to
you ask a very good question. But any time a person has a dispute in Halacha, when a person has a dispute in Halacha, does he normally cause the Kodesh Baruch Hu to have the carob tree jump 400 Amis and cause the Amis Amayim to go in reverse and cause the Kodesh Mesemedesh to collapse?
He was prosecuting his argument to try to persuade them and saying, I'm bringing you all the proofs, I'm bringing you Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, I'm bringing you Rabbi Loza ben Arach. I don't know what else to do. If you think someone's wrong and you argue with them, he's blue in the face, he's arguing with them, they're not listening. He's bringing them proofs. We're not getting the details of the conversation.
Yes.
Why bring the chirim? It's a zakimah meitak. Asking in the chavar, then it's much worse. It's not just it's a capital offense. And if he's not passing against them, so he disagrees. So he disagrees. We have so many instances where Yeshua's teeth get black because he goes to the kever of Beis Shammai because he passed in the incorrect way or something. In many cases where Chachamim are disagreeing.
To answer Barry's time, I can say that Gemara says that one person didn't have a wife. Hashem gave him the ability to give birth to his child. So Gemara says that both his and that person, that Shana Brios, had to change the creation. This was not a Shema, it was derogatory in a sense. Asher also, they had to change the Bria, but not Gavidic.
Good. Yes, Simi wants to add something. Yossi, you have next word if you want to add something. And then Rabbi Cohen, if you have anything to say on this matter. No? Okay. Simi, what would you like to share with us? What Rachma Shifka, what was it?
I'm summarized.
No, that's not a question. Somebody, I think the answer to Barry's question is, Barry, you've been fortunate enough to learn through Shas already a couple of times. You know that the machloik is in virtually every single omud in Shas. When's the last time someone tried to go and bring heavenly forces to show that he's right and everybody else is wrong? Reb Lezer is saying, I could care less what all the other chacham in the Bismeder say. I'm going to show you that I'm right. And he made these miraculous occurrences of having, he invokes heaven to go and show that he's right against all of them. And they're saying, listen, you may be the Poisek Hador, but if you happen to be the minority, and we happen to be the majority, you have to follow us, whether you like it or not. And don't try to go and bring me masses from Baskold, and Amos Amayim, and Chorev. This is halacha. And apparently Reb Lezer, even after this, he probably was going to do something further. It doesn't tell us. So the point is, they said, you're invoking all of this heavenly intervention. We have to stay within halakhic jurisprudence. Since you are not participating the way you should, we have to put you in the head.
So
yes, Rabbi Kohen.
How come today you have Reuv and Mir, as far as people paskinin, and some of them are contrary to Shulchan Aruch Yerodeya, Machabel and Ramon. You have in the Dark Yeshuva, he lists many times different.
They're not all together in one place.
And they do contrary to interpret what the Shulchan Aruch says.
Individual paskinim have the right to paskin any way they feel is correct, of course, if they're Erlechin Yereshem, they can go paskin.
How do you interpret, or how do you.
If you have a bez. Okay, because you're raising now fundamental issues, but we have to finish the Gemara today. Who's going to go and be moidiyah to Reb Lezer that the Chachamim put him into Chayim? Now what's the problem of who's going to go and tell him? I'm Reb Kiva. Ani Eilech, I'm going to go. Reb Kiva was a Talmud of Reb Lezer and Reb Yeshua. I'm going to go. Shem Yelech Odom Sheinu Hogun. Maybe Chas Shom, someone who's not appropriate, someone who's not suitable. The idea is going to go and tell him. V'nim Tzemachrevis Kol Olam Kula in Chas Shalom. The whole world can get destroyed, as we'll see shortly in the Gemara. As a result of the anguish caused to Reb Lezer, a good part of the world almost was destroyed. And therefore, if a person who's not Hogan would go and tell him, Reb Lezer might become so furious and so incensed that the Kodesh Baruch Hu would only be able to appease him by destroying the entire world. So therefore, somebody appropriate should go. Reb Kiva offered to go. What did Reb Kiva do? He immediately put on black clothing, so that Reb Elezer would realize something is different today. When he came into the vicinity of the house of Reb Elezer, he made sure to go and distance himself by four amas, because a person who is excommunicated, you cannot go within his four amas. Reb Elezer said to his Talmud Akiva, what's different than today? You never wear black clothing, and why are you sitting distant? It appears to me that some of your chaverim appear to want to separate themselves from you. So Rabbi Kiva is telling him in a very gentle manner, there seems to be some perception, I heard something, I saw something, I'm not even sure. And the chaverim, maybe they want to separate, it's not clear what, when, where. However, Rabbi Lezer clearly understood what was going on, and as soon as he heard this, he realized that he was put in chayim, afu, and therefore he too, Rabbi Lezer, kar begodet, he went and raised kriya, just like a menud is supposed to, just like people never sitting shiva. Then he took off his shoes, just like a person is sitting shiva. The nishma of Yashul gabi karka, and he went and sat on the ground. The zolgo ain of the mois, and he started crying as a result of the pain that Reb Elezer felt. Loko oilam shlish bezeisu shlish bechitim shlish besayim. A third of the world supply of olives, of the world supply of wheat and of barley was destroyed that day from the anguish. And this is Rabbi Kiva, who did it in a very gentle manner, as we said. Can you imagine if someone inappropriate would have come in and came banging down the door? Hey, Rabbi Elezer, you're here. You're in Chayim. Chas v'shalom. Who knows what might have happened? V'yashomim, there was another version that af batik shbidei isha tofach, that even dough that was in the hands of women that were baking at that time, that though that dough also got spoiled as a result of the anguish caused to Reb Elezer. Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Ach Godol Hoye Ba'oisei Ayoyim. The word Ach Godol seems to be a little bit strange. What's meant Ach Godol? So in fact, on the side, there's another Girsa that Af Godol. There was such a divine fury that day about what happened with Reb Elezer. Ba'oisei Ayoyim, Shebechol Mokish Nosobay Ein of Reb Elezer. Wherever Reb Elezer would gaze on something, Nisraf, it automatically burned. That from Gamliel, Baba Sina. Now the Gemara is going to tell us shortly that Reb Gamliel was the brother-in-law of Reb Elezer, and Reb Gamliel, although his name did not appear throughout the sugya until now, he was the nasi, and therefore anything and everything that was done under his auspices and with his approval and consent. So Reb Gamliel was traveling, Baba Sina, he was coming on a boat, a ship. Amenel Nachshon Letavoy. Now a big wave came to go and sink the ship. Omar and Reb Gamliel understood what's going on. Kimadumali, it appears to me, Shein Zeh L'Bishul Reb Elezer Ben Horkinus, Reb Elezer, that we're talking about is Reb Elezer Ben Horkinus. Whenever you see Reb Elezer, it's Reb Elezer Ben Horkinus, as opposed to Reb Elezer, which is either Reb Elezer Ben Shemua, or Reb Elezer Ben Pedaz, depending whether it's a Tana or an Amaya. Anyway, since Reb Elezer Ben Horkinus, you have the...
This is Reb Eliezer Ben Horkinus.
You want me to say it? Reb Eliezer.
Reb Elezer Ben Pedos.
This is Reb Eliezer Ben Horkinus. Thank you very much. Ella says now, Reb Gamliel, I think the reason why the boat is about to sink is because of my brother-in-law, Reb Eliezer Ben Horkinus. Omer Lagav, he stood up on his feet. The Omer Rabbeinu Shlom, Kol Vidu Lefanecha, Shloim Lechvoidi Asisi, Lechvoid Beis Abba Asisi, El Lechvoidcha Shloigiru Machloikos Be Yisrael. The reason why we had to put Reb Elezer in Chayim, I'm sorry, Reb Eliezer, the reason why we had to go and put him in Chayim is because otherwise, Chas V'Shalom, this could have continued on, and we could have had burning dissent throughout the ranks, the rank and file of Klal Yisrael. So we had to put an end to this, and that's why we had to do what we did. Noch hazam mizaf, hayom mizaf, as a result, the yam now became nice and silent and quiet, and was no longer stormy the way it was. But the story is not over yet. Imish shalom, debis Reb Elezer. Now we're going to see now a fascinating Gemara, and it gives us a fascinating insight to the potency of saying tachnun. Particularly tachnun, we mean the filas apayim, putting down your head on the arm like we do during tachnun. So Imish Shalom is the name of the Bisud Reb Elezer. That's the wife of Reb Elezer. Reb Elezer's wife's name was Imish Shalom, and she was Asad Reb Gamliel, and she was the sister of Reb Gamliel. That's how Reb Gamliel and Reb Elezer were brothers-in-law, because Reb Gamliel's sister married Reb Elezer Ben Horkinus. Anyway, from that story and on, she would not allow her husband to go and fall in the Tefillas Apayim. Why? Because she was afraid that when he falls in the Tefillas Apayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to listen, and Chulila, something terrible is going to happen to her brother,
to Ram Gamliel. That day, Rish Yarchav, in other words, after a number of days, weeks, months, there was a day that appeared to be Rish Chodesh, Ichlefla bein Mole Lechase. And she made a mistake, she didn't have the most recent calendar, and she thought that this was a Chodesh Mole or Chaser, and therefore she was Toya by one day. What does this mean? What means bein Mole Lechase? So we'll see from the Rashi that the minig of Rish Chodesh at that time was different than our minhag today. As we know, if we have a chodesh chaser, which means that the chodesh is only 29 days, then the next day, the 30th day, is no longer called 30, it's called Rosh Chodesh, the first day of the next month. However, if you have a chodesh which is male, when we have 30 days, then the next day, the 31, is day number 1 Rosh Chodesh of the new month, but we make 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, day 30 and day 31. In day 30 of the old month, and the 31, day. The first day of the next month. Here, however, in the times of this Gemara, that was not the custom, only the day 31, the Midrash Chodesh, day 30 was a regular, normal day. So if you look at Rashi bin Moli Lechaser, about a third down the Amud, so Rashi Svura Hoysa, she had Chodesh Chaser, she assumed that the Chodesh was a short month of a 29-day month, the Kavua B'yoyim Lamed. And Rish Chodesh is going to be Nikva on the 30th day. And she figured today, on this day being the 30th day, she figured it's Rish Chodesh today. Since it's Rish Chodesh, he's not going to go in the fields of pine because we say Halal, we leave out Tachnun. However, that was Taka the 30th day of the prior month. However, it wasn't Rish Chodesh. It was a Chodesh Mali of 30 days. And Rosh Chodesh is only the next day. So that's why this is what I'm telling you, that Rashi was learning Pshat in the Gemara, and that's Pshat in the Gemara, that in those days, in fact, they didn't have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, but it was either the 30th day was 1 day of Rosh Chodesh, or 31st day, being the first day of the next month, was 1 day of Rosh Chodesh. They didn't have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh like we have today. That's the famous story, you know, about the army base. I'm sure you heard the story. No? You didn't hear the story? There was a Haredi Jew that was inducted into the army, and the officer that was in charge of his battalion or whatever was a Chiloni. And the Chiloni was not, of course, appreciative of all the nuances of halacha, but he was a very respectful individual. So the Haredi officer told him, I want you to know, every single morning, I have to go and daven between 7 and 8, and that my daven shachris. No problem, you can daven shachris every day. Fine, no problem. Good. Now it comes Rish Chodesh, and he comes over to the officer and says, officer, I want you to know that today I'm going to need an extra 15 minutes. Why you need extra 15 minutes? Rish Chodesh. So what's Rish Chodesh? Rish Chodesh. We say Hallel, we say Musa. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. So instead of an hour, he gets an hour and 15 minutes. No problem. A month later, he comes to the officer and he says, oh, by the way, it's today and tomorrow we're going to need the extra 15 minutes. Why is it? Why? Because this month it's 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. He said, listen, I've given you all the advantages and all the privileges until now, but I know what's happening. This time is going to be 2 times, next month it's going to be 3 days of Rosh Chodesh, then it's going to be 4 days of Rosh Chodesh. It's got to stop somewhere. You can't just keep taking advantage of me, 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. How can you have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh? Anyway, so that's what the Gemara held to, that they're not 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, only 1 day of Rosh Chodesh. So it was day number 30. She assumed that it was the first day and the only day of Rosh Chodesh. Right. It turns out that it was the 30th day of the prior month, a regular, ordinary day. Rosh Chodesh was only going to be the next day. So therefore, she was not careful to make sure that he wouldn't say Tachan. So Gemara Nachu, back to Gemara. Oh, Yom, that day was Rosh Yarcha Hava, at least she thought it was Rosh Chodesh. The Ichlef Lo, and she made a mistake being Malu L'Chaser, thinking that's Rosh Chodesh, when really it was not Rosh Chodesh. And he unfortunately fell now Tachnan, in other words, Nefilas Apai. Ikriyam, there was another version of the story, it had nothing to do with Rosh Chodesh, but Asa Anya, there was a poor person that came, Koya Bava, who came to the door. Afikale Rift, and she went to the kitchen to go and take out a piece of bread to give to this Ani. And Ashkachti, by the time she came back, she found enough Alav on Ampe that her husband had in fact fell Nefilas Apai. Amrulay, and therefore she said to him, come, now it's time to get up. Katlas the Ochi, I know that my brother Ram Gamliel has certainly died as a result of the fact that you did Nefilas Apayim. Now, what's the inyan of Nefilas Apayim? We find Nefilas Apayim in the Torah itself, that Moshe Beinu was Bayishtachu Alapov, we find Bayeshua. So in Halach it says that the reason why when it comes to Tachnun, we do Nefilas Apayim is we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're praying to you Hashem in every way, shape possible. How is every way, shape possible? The 3 ways that we can possibly go and and daven to Hashem. We can either do it sitting, we can go and do it standing, or we can do it through falling koyrim. Literally falling koyrim like on Yom Kippur, we don't go that far throughout the year, we just feel supine, we just put down our heads as if we are being mishtachve on the ground, so we do it kind of symbolically. And that's why when we're finished with tachnun, we first do tachnun by putting our arms down, then we do tachnun by just sitting regularly, showing the Yisrael, and then it says, v'anachnu lo neida, Kodesh Baruch Hu, we don't know where the effect, the potent effect of this tefillah will be, manasseh, what should we do? And therefore, that's why I'm now standing up. And that's why you're supposed to stand up by manasseh, by you saying Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm trying every way, shape possible, to go and say the tefillah properly in such a way that it should be niskabel. Sitting, putting the tefillah upon, standing up, and that's why Nana said, that's why I'm standing now to go and daven on my standing up. So the point is, it's a very potent tefillah. Who knows if perhaps that's the reason why the minig is in many places that they are mekel and tachnan to leave it out, because they felt that it's such a strong tefillah that it may be too strong, so to speak, and therefore, it says in the Sfarim, Toiv ma'at b'kavana, mehar b'shaloi b'kavana. It's a church potent filler, one should have a lot of kavana, and not, if you keep it saying it every single day, it becomes somewhat by rote, and it doesn't have that same heavenly effect. Anyway, but getting back to our Gemara, she knew that the effect was so potent that her brother would die, and Rabbi Gamliel, in fact, he taka died. Ad hachi nofek shipura, shoifers came out. Shoifer, of course, literally means a shoifer, like we use on Rosh Hashanah, but this is an expression which means that they were, the criers came out and they were crying and they were announcing, like you have in Yerushalayim, they go around in the automobiles with the intercoms, and they announce the Nebuch Levi of Mr. Smith will take place in another hour or whatever. So, Nebuch Nofik Shippurim, they said, Lamiyo the Shachar, that he died. It's Amalot, so now Rabbi Lezer said to his wife, Mino Yadis, how did you know that this was going to happen? Amr Leis, so she said to him, Kach mekoblani mi beis avi abba, I was mekabel from mine elta zayda, kol sha'orim nin olim, chutz misharayna. Who was her elta zayda? Since she happens to be from the sister of Ram Gamliel was from the beis Hillel. Hillel and Ram Gamliel and all the others came back to David HaMelech. So she's saying, I have a Kabbalah from an elta zayda, meaning from David HaMelech. He's referring to the Gemara on the Amud Aleph, where we had the pasuk of Hinei Hashem Nitzav Al Choymas Anoch of Yodei Anoch Kol Yishar Nenolim Chut Bishar Enoch. She's really quoting a pasuk from the Gemara from the Amud Aleph. The Mefarshim learn a very important halacha from this, and that is, why does it say that she was careful to make sure he doesn't fall in the Tefillah Sapayim? Obviously she couldn't stand there the whole day, she had to go and do other things in this world. So apparently all she did was, as soon as he finished Menasre, she didn't allow him to go and do Nefilas Apayim. Fine. So he would go and say Ashu Volatzian, and then afterwards he would go and say Nefilas Apayim. So it's in the Psak Halacha that once you leave out Nefilas Apayim, I think it says in even Shulchan Aruch, you have to be Mavar, but once you say, for instance, if by mistake they said Kaddish, and now the person, oh, we said Kaddish, you should have said Tachlan, that you don't go back to Tachlan anymore because it no longer has that potent effect once it's like Obizmane Batal Kabanai. Once you didn't say it immediately after Shemon Esrei, in fact, it's even brought in Halacha, one should not be Mafsik B'dibur between Chazor Shashatz and Tachlan. After Chazor Shashatz is over, go straight into Tachlan without speaking in between, because of the potent effect of the no interruption between Shemon Esrei and Tachlan.
So someone in this household can still interact with him, though, apparently, right?
Well, she wasn't davening. She had davened already before. She went to early minyan.
If he's in Chayram, she's living in the house. There's she doesn't have to distance himself from the
house. Maybe she was calling out from the kitchen. She said, "Oh, darling, today no talking today." Turn about. I'm honest again. There was this.
Why does he raise the point? Why when is it? Your side.
Yeah.
Does one take to not say Tachnun?
Well, we hear a lot. We stop saying Tachnun every time we hear.
Kamim and Hogim brings it. The reason why among Chassidim they do not say Tachnun as frequently is Toiv Ma'at B'Kavona Mehar B'Shalei B'Kavona. It's better to go and say Tefillah a little bit less, so that each time you Machaven more, as opposed to saying it by rote, constantly again and again and again, and then no longer has that potent of absolute.
My love by Yotze as opposed to every Tuesday or every Thursday.
If you want to institute that, we have to speak to ecclesiastical committee and see whether we can do it. And you can go one step further. So why don't we leave out Ashrei once in a while? Why don't we leave out Hoidu and leave out Baruch Shomar? Since we find in Halacha that we leave out Tachlin on so many different days anyway, when there's a Pesachtikul Yontif, so therefore they were moisif on that as well to strengthen this resolve. Then any time there's a Pesachtikul Yontif, the reason Dafki, if you're asking by Yotz and by Tzadikim, because that was considered a shtikl yom dilula. Yom dilula means a yard type. It also means a day that we are thanking Hashem for giving us the tzaddik, because every year when it comes to David's yard site, he goes up one higher degree in Shemayim, and tzaddikim afilim yisosim kriyim chayim, and the tzaddikim up in heaven, they can go and do yeshuas and poil yeshuas for yidden down below. So therefore, every day of the yard is considered to be that they're going up higher and higher, and that's why they come to see this and they come to see lulas. Therefore, that shtikl yard.
Not all Chassidim observe that by saying not to say Tachlin.
Chassidish and Chassidim are. The Litvish Chassidim are not so
much. Talk about Boga, your people.
My people, your people. Don't Rabban. Okay, we go to the end of the Mishnah. The end of the Mishnah was talking about Chas V'Shalom, Oino as Dvorim of a Ger. If Chas V'Shalom, someone says words to go and cause a Ger anguish. It's Don Rabban, Ma'an is a Ger. Oive B'Shloish Elavim. V'Aloich Tzoy Oive B'Shnaim. If a person causes mental abuse, verbal abuse, anguish, emotional distress to a ger, 3 lavin, a loichse, a person who oppresses him, particularly on paying debt, oivishnaim is oiver on 2 lavin. So to my shnoa, why are you telling me that ma'ana, that ba'yoinoa, that chsibi shloish lavin, that there are 3? What are those 3? The ger loisoina, don't cause ainoa. The chiyogar idcha ger be'atzim loisoina oisai, don't cause ainoa. The loisoina ishes amisai, the ger bechlal amisai, who? A ger is considered to be part of Amisai. He's also part of Klal Yisrael, and therefore you're saying the 3. In other words, just like there, you're saying the 3 lavin. Here they're also 3 lavin. What are the 3 lavin by lechitza, by oppression? Loi silchatzenu. The ger loi silchat. Veloi siya loi chenoisha. The ger bechlalu. So therefore, here you got 3, and here you got 3. So don't tell me 3 and 2. It's 3 and 3. So you may write. It's 3 lavin for lechitza and 3 lavin for ainah. Tan Reb Leizer Gudloimer. That's the same Reb Leizer Ben Hurkanus, is also known as Reb Leizer Gudloimer. The name is Hira Toira Belamid Vav Mekaymus. The Amri La, the Mem Vav Mekaymus. One version had 36, the other version has 46. The Ger, about a Ger, that be careful about Chas V'Shalom causing any anguish to a Ger. Now, of course, the obvious question is, open up a Sefer Torah and find out. Is that 36 and 46? I mean, what's the shiloh of it? So at the bottom, Toises already addresses this. Says Toises, the Amri La, the Mem Vav, Yesh Mefarish. Meaning, for instance, the Gemara is going to quote now a pasuk. Let's continue the Gemara. What's the reason why by a ger be particularly careful not to chas v'sholem cause him any humiliation, anguish, mental distress, emotional distress? From the surah ra. Surah ra means that chas v'sholem we are concerned that he might return to the way he was before he became a ger. He's going to say, what do I need this Judaism for? Let me revert to Buddhism, Christianity, an atheist, or whatever. I didn't have all these problems. So Shimon, my tchsev, what does it say in the pasuk? The ger loisayn v'leichachatzenu ki ger meyisem eretz yisrael. Oh, this is what Tois is referring to. This pasuk, the ger loisayn v'leichachatzenu, because you were gerim, do you call this one makayim, or do you call this two makayimas? It's only one pasuk. But the word ger is repeated twice in this pasuk. The ger loisayn v'leichachatzenu, don't cause them einah, and don't do oppression, because we were gerim. That's what Tois is saying, going back to the Tois. Yesh v'farpishim, the chashv ki ger me'isim ki yoytzeba, and similar psukim where the word ger is repeated, is that considered to be also counted? If you do count it, you get to 46. If you don't count, you'd only get to 36. What's the reason? Zog timar, remnosan oimer, mum shebecha al toimer lechabercha. If Chas V'Shalom, you yourself have some sort of blemish, especially a spiritual blemish, don't go and say anything bad about them. And that's pshat in this pasuk. The reason why you shouldn't oppress or humiliate or cause distress to a ger, because you yourselves were ger in Eretz Yisrael. You yourselves are refugees. So now going to say, let's kick out all the immigrants. All the people in America are immigrants, with the exception of a few Indiana who are eating turkey tonight. But otherwise, everybody else, we're all immigrants. So Bazoi throw us all out. So that's what he's saying. Mum shemecha, you yourself are a ger, so don't go and say about the other guy, you're a ger. Therefore, there's an expression. the zokif lay zikifa b'diyoskei like neighbor lechavrei zokif b'nisa. What does this mean? Zokif lay zikifa. Zikifa means to hang. B'diyoskei chas v'sholom, someone in his mishpacha Nebuch was hung at the gallows. Then don't go and say in his face and in front of him, oh, let's go and hang up the fish. Because as soon as he hears the word hanging something up, he gets a terrible hang up about such things, and therefore that causes him emotional distress. Or, you know, don't use that expression. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisrael.